Argument, United States versus Buchanan, Ms. Christensen.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Joanna Christensen, and I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent the appellant, Jesse Buchanan, in this matter. Jesse Buchanan is a cocaine dealer. The government proved as much at trial.
As I understand, the only issue is whether or not the suspicion demonstration it was crack.
Exactly. He's a powder cocaine dealer. The government proved, both at trial and at sentencing, that he dealt powder cocaine. The government has not shown, by preponderance of the evidence, that he dealt crack cocaine or possessed with an intent to steal crack cocaine. The insufficiency of the evidence proving this enhancement, essentially, was clear at all three sentencing hearings and was rested primarily on two items, the DEA chemist testimony and the videotape of the search. The chemist's testimony, at best, was conflicted, as he referred to the substance as cocaine-based and then asked generally what the name of that would be on the street. The chemist said the name generally would be crack. He did not say this substance is crack. He said generally cocaine base is known on the street as crack cocaine. However, the chemist described the substance as a compressed powder-like form, also described it in other places as cloth-like compressed powder form, which in itself, an understanding of crack cocaine versus any other type of cocaine, is inconsistent with one's understanding of crack cocaine. Compounding this problem is the videotape evidence, and I don't know if the court has viewed it yet, but I urge the court to do so, the videotape of Jesse Buchanan's girlfriend's residence, the search of her residence, which was the only place where alleged crack cocaine was found in this case. And nothing is visible from that videotape aside from an officer pulling a bag full of white substance out of a drawer. That substance was not presented at trial in the form that it was in the drawer, as the chemist testified they had to alter it, ground it up, in order to test it accurately. And it was also not, obviously, then available for sentencing for the district court to look at for sentencing purposes. Compounding this problem is the district court's findings regarding whether this is crack cocaine or another form of cocaine base. Given the sparse amount of evidence on the record, the district court's finding that this was clearly cocaine or crack cocaine is not sufficient enough in this case. The reason for this is that in my brief, I delineate for the court what the difference between Mr. Buchanan's sentencing guideline range would be without this crack cocaine. It is significant, Your Honor. In his situation, it's a two-level difference, which is about 5 years at the low end. In any other situation, it's an 8-level difference. It would be 28 if he were not a career offender, rather than 36, which he was sentenced at solely because of the crack cocaine. The 157 grams of alleged crack cocaine, when considered powdered cocaine as it should have been in this case, his sentence would have been much lower. Given the huge responsibility of drug sentencing, it is our opinion, and we urge this court to hold the same, that the district court should have made more finely tuned, detailed rulings regarding the evidence in this case.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Minkler?
May it please the court, counsel, Josh Minkler representing the United States of America. The question which is squarely framed for this court is whether Judge Tinder committed clear error when he found, by a preponderance of the evidence, that the 157 grams of cocaine base was in fact crack cocaine, as defined by the sentencing guidelines. In this case, there was a jury trial. There is a clear record of the testimony which supports Judge Tinder's finding. The most persuasive testimony on this issue is by John Myers, who is the senior forensic chemist for DEA. Mr. Myers testified that Government's Exhibit 22, which is 157 grams of substance we're talking about, is cocaine-based, which would be suitable for smoking. Cocaine hydrochloride, powder cocaine, usually used by either sniffing, snorting, or injecting, whereas the exclusive manner of ingesting crack cocaine is smoking it. And as the chemist went to some length to explain, there's a difference in melting points, and that this is cocaine-based, which would be suitable for smoking. He also stated Government's Exhibit 22 would have a street name. I asked him, would it be referred to on the street as crack cocaine? And he said it could be referred to as crack. Quite frankly, I think a chemist who is an expert in this field, who gives that opinion, carries the day in this issue. There is more evidence of this. There is.
Are cocaine base and crack synonyms?
Well, if you were to ask a chemist, you might get a different answer than you were to ask a guidelines commissioner. According to the guidelines commission, cocaine base is not necessarily crack. Crack is a subset of cocaine base.
Subset defined how?
As a hard rock-like form of cocaine base, usually prepared by adding sodium bicarbonate to cocaine powder and being processed by cooking. I would further define it, as this court is well aware, is that crack cocaine is a type of cocaine that is smoked, that is has a lower melting point. And therefore, when I think the melting point of crack is, as the chemist testified, 98 degrees centigrade, which although it's pretty hot, it could be smoked, whereas powder cocaine, I think it would not be smokable. It actually decomposed before you could heat it high enough to smoke it.
Is cocaine, what makes the cocaine base hard rather than soft? Because you're saying it's not always hard. It's not always rock-like.
Cocaine base, I think, in its raw form, without having, and this is not in the record, but just from my experience, cocaine base, I think, in its raw form has a hydrochloride salt added to it, which then makes it into a powder cocaine, and then they add some sort of solvent to it, in this case most commonly baking soda, to take the hydrochloride salt away from it, which makes it into cocaine base. And that's how, my understanding is how powder cocaine is turned into cocaine base. There is also, as Ms. Christensen pointed out, a videotape of the substance as it was seized.
Well, no, what you just said was, you implied you start with the cocaine, with the hydrochloride.
Powder cocaine, correct.
You start with that, you add the baking soda, and you get cocaine base. But you said the Sentencing Commission regards cocaine base as crack only if it's rock-like.
That's what the Sentencing Commission says is their definition.
Is there a soft form of cocaine base? That is, when you first add the baking soda to the cocaine hydrochloride, do you initially get a powder, which you then cook into a rock?
Well, in answer to your question, there is a hardening process. I mean, it takes a while. It doesn't instantaneously harden with the addition of the baking soda. I think it takes some time. So I guess it could be in a paste.
But it's a natural progression to hardness.
Yes,
so
I believe it is.
You think the Sentencing Commission is really mistaken?
I absolutely think they are. Yes, absolutely. In the United States, when you're talking about cocaine base, you're talking about crack. Be that as it may, I'm not on the commission, and I can't change what they say. They've said crack cocaine is a subset of cocaine base, but in this case, I think it's very clear, and as Judge Tinder found, the evidence is well beyond a preponderance of the evidence that the substance in this case is crack. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Winkler. Ms. Christensen, how much time? 1 minute? Do you have anything further?
Yes, Your Honor, just quickly, I would argue that what the government just said is the main problem in this case and other crack cocaine, cocaine-based cases, is that the government wishes crack to be all cocaine-based. And that may be the government's wish. That
no,
may
no,
be
they want all
society.
Cocaine-based to be called crack. You had it reversed.
Yes, all cocaine-based to be crack, eliminating what the Sentencing Commission has clearly delineated that there are forms of cocaine-based.
But he says they're mistaken, that cocaine-based is always hard.
Well, he may well be true about that, but unfortunately, or fortunately, the sentencing
guidelines... But if there is no soft cocaine base, except at the very beginning of the process, then that's an empty set that the Sentencing Commission is concerned about.
Well, Your Honor, I don't know. I don't have experience as much with cocaine base or crack, but if the Sentencing Commission has thought fit to make different subsets of cocaine base, then that's the way...
No, they can't create chemical phenomena. They may mistakenly think there's a soft cocaine base out there. Suppose there isn't. I don't see how that would help your case. I don't think it would help your case the fact that they think there's something which doesn't exist.
It helps.
It doesn't exist. I don't see how your client could have been selling it.
For 11 years, the Sentencing Commission has defined cocaine base as several subsets, crack being one of them, and not defined any further subsets.
That may be true, but that doesn't mean there is anything in these other boxes that they've created, right?
Correct. I agree with you, Your Honor.
So what's the evidence that here this cocaine base was soft?
I don't believe that it has to be shown as soft. I don't think there's anything that says that non-crack is soft. I think the chemist described it as a compressed powder. So it's possible that that's not rock, but it's also not soft. But therefore, it's not crack cocaine because it's not a rock-like substance. I don't think soft is the defining term of non-crack cocaine base. I see my time is up, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr.